So today we are finishing up this series of sermons we've been in for quite a while now, the last several months, called The Gifts and the Giver. We started out by looking at the roles that the Holy Spirit wants to play in our own lives as individuals and as the church, as the body of Christ. And we've spent the last several Sundays looking at some of the spiritual gift passages. We've been looking at those chunks of scripture that talk and teach about the spiritual gifts, mostly looking at the context, asking, what do these passages tell us about how the gifts should be used and what should be happening in conjunction with the gifts, and what does it look like in the body? And I kept telling you during each of those sermons, we aren't going to get into the details of the actual gifts this time around. There's a time coming for that. Well, guess what? Today is that day. So today we're going to talk about all this list of gifts that God has given to his church for the purpose of encouraging and edifying the body of Christ. And we're going to start with an introduction, though, about a passage that teaches us that we are not called to hide our gifts. It's a parable from Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the signs of the end of the age. So he's talking about some sort of last things. And he is talking about the kingdom of God in those days. And we get to this point in Matthew 25 where he tells this parable. And we have a lot to learn from the parable today about hiding our gifts. It starts in verse 14 of Matthew 25. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability, and then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. The man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him who gave it to the one and give it to the one with 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more. They will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this passage has a lot going on. There's a lot we can unpack. There are a lot of different ways to teach from the scripture, but from this morning, I want to focus on our context of spiritual gifts and the gifts that we have received, that have been given to us by our master, because that's how this parable, the story, starts. These servants are entrusted with gifts by their master. They did nothing to earn these gifts, whether 5 bags of gold or 2 or 1. They did nothing to earn or deserve them. They were simply entrusted something from the master to the servants. When we receive spiritual gifts, it's not because we've earned them. It's not because we deserve them. It's not because we've checked enough spiritual boxes. They are purely gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the church. We are entrusted with that wealth, the wealth of those spiritual blessings of the gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. And did you notice that in the passage, each one receives according to his own ability? We receive gifts according to our own ability. The Holy Spirit divinely divvies out what we receive when it comes to spiritual gifts. In other words, you receive what you actually need and can handle, maybe not what you want. Because, spoiler alert, what you want is not always actually what you need. The Holy Spirit is the one bestowing these spiritual blessings, these spiritual gifts, entrusting us with those things according to our own abilities. And the expectation is that they would be used, not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of who? The Master, the one who has entrusted these blessings to us. And the one thing you can really take away from this parable in this context is that non-use of our gifts is a misuse of our gifts. Now, there are a lot of different ways to misuse your gifts. You could do it for your own selfish gain, to get attention or acclaim for your own self. And there are other ways that you can misuse your gifts by actively using them poorly. But it's also true that to not use your gifts is actually a misuse of your gifts. In that story, when the master returns and that one servant who got the one bag of gold and took it and buried it in a hole in the ground came back and was like, listen, I know what kind of person you are. So here's everything you gave me. I'm just going to give it back to you. And what was the response? Listen, you could have at least put this into the bankers and give it there, maybe even just a little bit of interest when I came back. We are called, even if we're doing just a little bit with our gifts, we are called to use them. Whatever we've received, however the amount, whatever the type, whatever gifts we have received, we are called to actually use them. Don't bury your gifts in the ground. Don't hide the gifts that you have received. So then the question becomes, what gifts have you received? So this morning, I'm going to actually go through the gifts that we have covered in these past several Sundays. I'm just going to go through them and talk very briefly about each one. So here's the first warning. It's not super exciting because we're just kind of defining these gifts. And you may for a while be like, oh man, we're still going. But think of it this way. When your gift that you have or you believe you might have comes on the screen, you're going to be attentive and like, oh, okay, this is for me. That's going to happen for everybody in the room at different times. So it may not be for you all the time. And here's the second thing I would say. As we go through these spiritual gifts, ask God and ask yourself, okay, is this me? Is this description matching up with who I am? Or the second question, does this describe somebody I know? Like, is there a friend? Is there someone close to me? When I hear this description, I'm like, oh, that is definitely them. Because I want to encourage you to share those thoughts with people that you know. Sometimes it's really helpful to have a friend, someone close to you, help you to identify what gifts you have received. And since there's really no great order to do these in, I just went old school and we're going to go alphabetical. That also means that you'll get a sense for like we're nearing the end and you can start being like, okay, we're coming to the close of the list, right? So here we go. We'll start with A. The spiritual gift of administration is one of the ones that we've covered. The Greek word for the spiritual gift of administration is kubernesis. It's this unique term. It's a really fun one. It refers to a shipmaster or a captain. It literally means to steer or to guide or maybe to rule or to govern. And the idea is that this is a person who guides or directs a group of people toward a goal or toward a destination. So when the Spirit gives the gift of administration, it's enabling certain Christians to organize, to direct, to implement plans, to lead others in the various ministries of the church. It's often closely related to the gift of leadership, but not always. And it's more goal and task oriented. It has to do with details and organization. Now, I'll stop momentarily and say there may be some of these gifts you hear the description and you're like, okay, I know that's definitely not me. Because I was preparing this and I read this and I was like, that is definitely not me. The administration thing, the details, the organization, that is just not who I am. And sometimes it's helpful to start knowing who you're not to zero in on the gifts that you've actually been given. So moving on, apostleship is another gift we've talked about. We recognize there's a certain element of Christianity, foundational Christianity, that's limited to those original apostles, the ones that walked with Jesus, things like the birth of the church and the inspiration of Scripture. That was only for that first generation, those unique apostles. But the gift of apostleship is still very, very much needed in the church, in the world today. People with the gift of apostleship are people who have in their hearts to plant new ministries or new churches, to go to places where the gospel has not yet been preached, to go across cultures where starting churches is challenging, to raise up and develop leaders, pastors, shepherds. The people with the gift of apostleship usually have additional gifts that go along with it because there are so many things that need to be fulfilled in this role of apostle. These are people who are leaders of leaders, who minister to ministers. They're often like entrepreneurial type people. They love taking risks and addressing difficult tasks. Think about people who are missionaries or church planters, or maybe people who lead in like large roles in institutions like denominations or something. These are people who have a lot going on, and they are instilling it sometimes in unique circumstances. This is the gift of apostleship. There's also the gift of discernment. The spiritual gift is sometimes called the distinguishing between spirits. There's a fun Greek word for this one too, diakrisis. It means to distinguish, to judge, to appraise, whether it's a person or a statement, a situation, or maybe an environment. Sometimes it's just distinguishing between good and evil. When someone receives this gift from the Holy Spirit, they're able to, with more sensitivity than the average person, to sense, is this something that is of God or is this not of God? Is this something of the world, of the flesh, or is this of the Spirit? And the church needs people with discernment because this is how we avoid going off towards false teaching and things that are a danger for the church to follow after. We need the gift of discernment still today. There's the gift of evangelism. This is one you guys are probably familiar with. Now, all Christians are called to evangelism in a sense. We are all part of this great commission where Jesus says, go and make disciples. That is something for each and every one of us. But there are some people that just have this extra measure of faith and effectiveness and passion when it comes to sharing the good news. And that's what the Greek means, just to bring good news. These are people who can clearly and effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus to people who have not yet heard it or trusted in it. Their hearts are burdened for the lost. They will go out of their way to share the truth with people who don't yet know Jesus. They overcome that sort of normalized fear of rejection that most of us have. And we're like, oh, I don't know if I want to share. What if they reject me? What if they reject the message? People with the gift of evangelism, not an issue. Don't even consider it. Because there's such a burden on their hearts to share that good news with people, all sorts of people. They seek out relationships with people who don't yet know Jesus and are sensitive to how the Holy Spirit can use them to draw people closer to Christ. It is a gift of exhortation, a gift of encouragement in many ways, but it's a little more than that. The original language means to beseech, to exhort, call upon, encourage, or strengthen. The primary way people do this is just reminding people of the powerful, amazing work of God, specifically in Christ. The Spirit gives this gift to people in the church to strengthen and encourage, specifically those whose faith is wavering or teetering. So if you've ever gone through a season of life where your faith is just wavering or teetering a little bit, you need someone with the gift of exhortation to come alongside you and encourage you, to uplift you, to motivate you. Now, sometimes when we get too big for our own spiritual britches, the gift of exhortation is people who come alongside and are like, yeah, listen, you need to dial it back. There's this idea of actually challenging people if you have this gift. And that's the way that exhortation is intended to work in the church, even still today. There's a spiritual gift of faith. Now, this is not confused with saving faith. We all receive the gift of saving faith, but this is a special gift through the Holy Spirit where someone has an extra level of confidence, an extra level of being convinced, of trust, of assurance in their faith, rooted deeply in their faith that comes with a relationship with Jesus, having a trust and a confidence that allows them to live really boldly and manifest this faith in mighty ways. Sometimes this gift of faith is accompanied in Scripture by great works of faith, and people of the gift of faith are open to God using them for great works of faith at any time and in any place. They take the Word of God, the full weight of it, is lived out in their lives. They expect God to move and do crazy, crazy things because their faith simply expects God to do the unexpected things. There's also the gift of giving or generosity. The word simply means to impart or to give by itself in the Greek, but there's an extra word that goes along with it, haplotes, and it means sincerely, generously, without pretense or hypocrisy. So that tells you the kind of giving that this person with the gift of giving or generosity does. This is allows somebody to help meet the needs of the church ministries, the missionaries, the people maybe who don't have enough to allow themselves to be provided for fully. They encourage people to provide. They give credit, though, for all of this giving to God's love and provision. It's never about them. It's about the fact that they have been so blessed that now they can bless other people. They're usually really good stewards of everything that they have, careful stewards of all the blessings God has given to them. Often they'll adjust their lifestyles even so they can give even more to the people, to the ministries that so desperately need it. And when somebody shares a need with them, they don't go, oh man, now I got to figure out what to do. They are joyful. They cannot wait to figure out a way to try and help meet this need because of the giving, generous spirit that they have because of the gift of generosity. There's the gift of healing. Actually, in the Greek, it's a plural, gifts of healings. It's usually related to the spiritual gifts of faith and miracles. The belief is that through healing, God can draw people to himself and out of their sufferings. Beyond the relief from suffering, healings are meant to draw people to God, as happened during Jesus' ministry. Folks who have this gift, they're really compassionate and empathetic toward the sick, praying over them or about them often. They're motivated that God's power can be revealed through a healing and draw people to faith or a deeper faith in Christ. There's the gift of knowledge, the gift of essentially understanding and the ability to speak about this knowledge and understanding to others in a given situation when it's going to be helpful. A lot of times, knowledge and wisdom, which we'll get to later, are used together. Folks who have this gift are very, very well-versed in Scripture. As a matter of fact, a lot of times they have memorized significant chunks of Scripture. They can retain the truth and communicate it effectively at the appropriate times. They can relate Scripture to the aspects of life in the world in which we live. They can make connections, especially between challenging parts of life and the truth that we find in Scripture. There's the gift of leadership. This spiritual gift usually comes alongside of things like administration or the pastor shepherd gift that we're going to talk about in just a moment. There's the Greek word for this one is a fun one, proistemai. It means to assist or to lead, to protect, and to care for. Now, this is someone who is a leader but is more people-oriented than task-oriented. The administrator was more of the task and goal. This is a people-oriented person. They can accomplish many different things at once, different objectives as they lead, but they do so relationally. They have a deep, deep concern for the well-being of others, wanting to offer care, protection, and can especially lead through situations of crisis. That's what the gift of leadership looks like. The gift of mercy. Now, all Christians are called to be merciful. But some people have an extra ministry of mercy because of the gift that they have received. They're patient and compassionate towards those who are suffering or afflicted. There's a concern not just for physical health, but also the spiritual needs of those who are hurting. These are people who have like a deep, deep ability to be empathetic. So if you're someone whose empathy tank runs out really, really fast, you probably don't have the gift of mercy. But if you're somebody who can be that empathetic person over and over again, sometimes for long stretches, you might have the gift of mercy, sensitive to the feelings and circumstances that are going on in the lives of other people. This is the kind of person who says, I just want to be there for others. Somebody who's typically a really good listener. So if you're someone who tends to talk more than you listen, and I'm not going to ask you to self-identify this morning, but if you talk more than you listen, you might not have the gift of mercy. But if you love to listen, to invest in people in that way, then you may have a spiritual gift of mercy. The gift of miracles is another one. Similar to the gift of healing, it's plural, the workings of powers, the gift of miracles. Those with this gift have a heightened sensitivity to the presence and the power of God working through the Holy Spirit. They have this sort of extra measure of faith and desire for God to reveal himself through the miraculous. Now, they also don't draw attention to themselves. It's always directed. The miracle is about what God is doing in the world, what Jesus is doing with his presence. It's not about them. People with the gift of miracles do not want a following. They don't want to gather people to themselves. They want to direct people through miracles to the God of miracles. They are available whenever God wants to move in that way, and they're attentive to when the prompting of the Spirit moves them in that way. There's the gift of pastor or shepherd, and it carries a lot of responsibilities along with it. It's usually closely related to the gifts of leadership and teaching, which we'll get to in a moment. And the Greek word is actually related to shepherd, because in a pastoral role, you are called, your calling is to shepherd, much like a shepherd watches over a group of sheep. These are people who are called and gifted to care for the spiritual well-being of an entire local body of God's people. And pastors know that they are first and foremost servants before they are leaders. They're servants of God and servants of the church. And a lot of times, pastors have a mixture of abilities by God's grace that allows them to serve the many needs of a local church community, which I can speak to. No, I'm one of those people. I feel like I'm like a jack of all trades, but a master of none. Like, there's no one thing I feel really, really good at, but I do enough other things moderately well enough to be able to serve in this role as a pastor or a shepherd. There's the role of prophecy, which still has a place in our world today. This is for people who receive divinely inspired messages and are able to communicate those messages to the church. Now, often we associate prophecy with just foretelling the future. And that is possible, but that is not the only thing that prophetic word is about. Sometimes it's about exhortation or correction, or sometimes comfort or inspiration. It's basically listening for what does God want to say to the church at this time, for this moment. Now, unlike Old Testament prophets, those folks were like declaring the word of the Lord. Today's prophets are taking the divine messages they feel God lays upon their hearts and with their own human words trying to describe to the church the message that God has for us. They're attentive, both vertically and horizontally, to what God has to say and to what the church needs to hear. There's the gift of service, or sometimes called helps. This is a really wide range of activities in its application. There are two different Greek words, both of them in Scripture when talking about the gifts. It's about acts of service that are done in genuine love for the edification of the community. These are the people the Holy Spirit empowers to like fill many and varied needs of ministry within the church as the church fulfills the Great Commission. These are people who would say, please don't ever make me stand up in front of other people. I do not want recognition. I do not want the spotlight. I would actually shrink down to this size if that happened to me. They don't want to be recognized, but they love to help in any way possible. And they know that by offering those helps, that service, that they're allowing other functions of the church that like, I couldn't stand here and be pastor shepherd without all that goes into the service and helps that would leads up to it would be impossible. And those with that gift, they know how valuable that gift is for the church. There's the gift of teaching, expounding, explaining, instructing. These are people who love to study the Word of God, usually for extended periods at a time. And they also understand there's a heavier responsibility when you are a teacher within God's church, that there is a high expectation for what that gift brings. But they take great joy and satisfaction in seeing others learn and apply God's truth to their own lives. They hate it when Scripture is abused or misused, ripped out of context, or used for ill intent. They love it, how the gospel is woven throughout all of the Scriptures. They have an excitement to share everything they're learning as a part of their teaching role. There's the gift of tongues, both speaking and interpreting. I'm not going to go into this one too deeply. If you've been with us in the series, you know in Corinth, this is the one where Paul's like, guys, you have got to stop focusing on this gift. It was the one that everybody wanted to be able to do. And it's something that is still for the church today in some capacity. It's when people receive some sort of message and they're able to speak in a language they do not know. Now, biblically speaking, somebody else needs to be in the room to interpret what is being said in order for it to be a functional part of what it means to gather together as the church. And just as a little side note, there are some groups, maybe even denominations out there that would try and tell you, unless you have the gift of tongues, you are not actually saved. You don't actually have Jesus. You're not really full of the Holy Spirit. As friends, we do not believe at all that that is true, that tongues is a gift that some Christians are given by the Spirit, but that not every Christian is expected to be able to have that gift. And then finally, we're at W. We're just about done. So the gift of wisdom refers to an intimate understanding of God's word and how it results in holy and upright living. The people with this gift, they use it to speak life to individuals or groups because they have understanding and a righteous perspective that's come not just through knowledge and learning, but through life experience and leads to holiness and to worship. It's not just about knowledge. This gift is about encouraging and calling people to transform hearts and lives. Hearts and lives that are about righteousness and justice together. These are the kind of people who have a depth of knowledge about God, but not just that, a depth of experience of a life with God. We're just talking in our ABF this morning about how wonderful it is to talk to people with this gift, because they've not just seen it on the pages of Scripture, they've lived it in their lives, and they can pass it along to people who so desperately need it today. So I got done getting together, and there's a great website that I used as a resource to try and get some brief descriptions of all these gifts. Hopefully that was helpful to you and maybe helpful to others that you know. But I got to the end of it, and because I subscribe to Christianity Today magazine, I have access to the entirety of their archives, and that's a lot of stuff. That magazine's been around a long time. So sometimes I'll just log in and do a search, and I found a great quote from an article from the May 1975 issue of Christianity Today. 4 years before I entered the world, this was written in Christianity Today by a guy named James A. Davy. And this is what he says about spiritual gifts in the article. If our local churches are ever to be more than collections of believers who congregate once a week to listen to one member, always the same one, speak, then we must discover how God has uniquely gifted each one to contribute to the whole. And over 40 years later, it is still true today. If our churches, plural, and if this church wants to be more than a group of people who hang out together and are friendly to one another for an hour or so on a Sunday morning, listening to the same person talk all the time, if we're going to be more than that, then we need to know what our gifts are, and we need to stop burying them. We need to actually use them instead of hiding them. That's the call to be the body of Christ in the world. And we find a really great encouragement when we think about our own spiritual gifts in the letter that Paul writes to Timothy, his second letter. We call it 2 Timothy today. And there's just one phrase that is such a great encouragement that I want to finish with this. He writes this: I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. And I love that imagery, to fan into flame. In the ancient world that Paul and Timothy lived in, there was usually a fire centrally located in pretty much every home. This fire had two main purposes. One, when it got cold at night, you stoked the fire in order to warm things up. But two, the main thing, it was to cook. And this fire almost never went all the way out. Now, it would go down sometimes to just little tiny embers if it wasn't needed for a while, but it never went all the way out, so that when it came time to use it, whether for heat or for cooking, you would just fan it into flame, and it would be ready to be useful to the household again. And so I love it that Paul says to Timothy, and the Spirit says to us today, fan into flame the gift you've received, because you've received a gift. But are you fanning it into a flame so that it's useful and productive for the work God wants to do in and through his church today? So a few tips. If you're wondering this, you know, how do I fan into flame the gift I receive? Just a few tips, a few things to think about, to think through. One is, read where the Bible talks about spiritual gifts. Now, we've looked at them over the past several weeks, but in your bulletin, there's that insert. I've listed those passages. Read through them again this week slowly, saying to God prayerfully, teach me about gifts. Specifically, teach me about my gifts so that I can discern them and use them. My second tip, there are spiritual gift inventories or questionnaires out there everywhere. I was going to try and find like the best one and recommend it, but there are so many of them. Now, some of them are tricky because they're on a website where it's like free spiritual gift test. And you're like, oh, that's great. Click, click, click. And then it's like, here, give us all the information about who you are, including your email address and your phone number and your mother's maiden name and your social security number. And like, it's, I mean, not all that, but it's like, you know, you're getting on a mailing list if you use that one. So find one that doesn't have a lot of barriers to it and use it. None of those spiritual gift inventories or questionnaires, they are not foolproof, but they're great tools to use because I've taken many of them. And do you know what it finds every time? Teacher and pastor, every single time, without fail. They're tools to try and help you zero in. Another tip is pull the Regis Philbin and phone a friend. You guys remember Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Anybody else? Okay, good. Some people do. Phone a friend, and I talked about this earlier. Ask somebody who knows you who will be honest with you, not tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear. Ask them about what they see in you and your giftedness. When they heard some of these descriptions, did they think of you when they thought of a particular gift? Because getting counsel from wise and trusted friends is a great way to try and identify what your gifts might be. Another tip is simply to pray, especially as you read through those passages. Ask God, because listen, God is the one giving you these gifts. Why wouldn't he want to open your eyes more fully? And then here's my last tip. Do an experiment. If you have a hunch that, you know, maybe my gift is in this area and you can figure out a way to try that out, do it. You may find out really quickly that you are correct in your assumption. Like, this is definitely it. Now, you may find quickly that this is not it at all. There was somebody who one time thought, you know what, maybe I'll serve in our nursery. And they tried it one Sunday and they walked out those doors and they said, I know that this is not my gift. So there are times when you will do an experiment because you think this is maybe where your gift is and you will fall flat on your face. Don't get discouraged. You're just closer to finding out what your actual gift is. Don't be afraid to do an experiment to find out where and how God might want to use you. So we're going to reflect, spend some time in silence with just a few questions. And these are in your bulletin if you want to take them home and continue to contemplate them this week. Here's the first one. How much of your time, your talents, and your treasure are you dedicating to the ongoing kingdom work that Jesus desires for the church and the world? Or are you hiding those things? Are you instead burying them in the ground? Secondly, which gift or gifts from Scripture that we looked at today most resonate with who you have been created to be and with who you've been recreated to be in Christ? And then lastly, how can you fan the flame of your giftedness this week? Maybe from one of the things I just talked about, some of those tips, but maybe God will give you another way to fan that flame, especially if it's just died down to embers so that God could use who you are and who you've been gifted to be for the sake of the church and the world. I'm going to flip through those one more time, and I'm going to close this time of reflection in a moment with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful today that you continue to give good gifts to your church. And we want to be like one of those wise servants who, instead of hiding your gifts, burying them in the ground, sort of just trying to keep things safe and easy. God, help us to be a wise steward of what you've entrusted to each one of us, believing that someday you're going to return and you're going to ask us, what did you do with the wealth of spiritual blessing that was given? We pray that as your scripture and your Holy Spirit speak to us, that we would be able to understand and discern who we've been created and recreated to be. Help us to figure those gifts out if we haven't yet, or if we already know what they are. Help us this week to figure out how to fan that flame even greater, for greater effectiveness for the ministry of your church, for the sake of your gospel, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.